Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. We give you glory and praise. Hallelujah. We rejoice in your promises because they are yea and amen. And we know that your word will always be fulfilled. It will never fall to the ground and die. But it will go forth and accomplish its purpose, prosper in the thing whereunto you sent it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine in our hearts, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today, I just want to encourage you again that there shall be a performance of those things that have been spoken unto you from the Lord. And there is a way that God's going to begin to cause it to come to pass. There are some key phrases in the scriptures that we're going to consider during this lesson, such as one, shall be a performance, and two, and it shall come to pass, and three, that it might be fulfilled. And so, you know, we're going to consider, you know, these sayings that are common in the scriptures concerning the things that God has spoken ahead of time. So we're going to look at it, and I want to encourage us to open our hearts to understand this thing so that you yourself can be saying it just like that. Praise God. You know, one thing that we've been trying to encourage the people to believe is that, look, God wants us to be like him. We really can't get away from that lesson. No matter what we say, up and down, sideways, or whatever, back and forth, must always come back to that. God wants us to be like him. God wants us to be like him. How was it that God created all the things that we understood that he created in the book of Genesis? It was by his word. It was that he said something, and he knew it was going to come to pass. And it came to pass, because he said it. Praise God. So, we must develop ourselves to that point. You speak the word, you know it is going to happen, you leave it alone, and it's going to happen. You praise the Lord for it. Best you can do. But you don't worry about how it's going to happen, because there shall be a performance of those things as spoken by the Lord, especially when you believe. And you must believe. Praise God. Well, that phrase itself comes from the story of Mary being visited by angel Gabriel, being told that, you know, she was going to be pregnant and bring forth, you know, this thing that will be called the Son of God. Said, therefore, that holy thing shall be brought forth of you. Well, shall be called the Son of God. So we read that story, you know, earlier on as Luke was explaining the story of how this was announced to Mary and so forth. But prior to that being announced to Mary, there was also, you know, God visited Zacharias and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, as of the time that Mary got her own announcement, Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant. But she was someone that had been thought to be barren. And the angel told Mary that, look, even your cousin, you know, just so that you know that these things, you know, for real, even your cousin that was thought to be barren is now 6 months present, pregnant, for there shall nothing be impossible to the Lord. But I also want to talk to you about companion miracles. In other words, you know, some people say, you know, when it rains, it pours. Well, I think those people in Nigeria and some other parts may understand that. Here in the United States, too, there are some tropical areas where it rains a lot. But, you know, there are places where it may not rain for a while, but when it rains, it really pours. And in this lesson, we will see, you know, companion miracles and things like that. We will see multiple miracles too, actually. And God's ability to bring things to pass, you know, one after the other, just like that, you know. Now, let's consider, first of all, that the man Gabriel, actually an angel from the presence of the Lord, has visited Zacharias and given him a wonderful, wonderful reason to rejoice. But the man, considering, you know, that he was well stricken, he was an old man himself and well stricken in years, he, you know, he challenged the thing. "Whereby shall I know this?" he said. "Well, I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years." Well, you know, that angel didn't take that very kindly at all. He said, "Look, you know, I am Gabriel, you know, I stand in the presence of God and I'm sent to you to bring you these glad tidings. Instead of you rejoicing, I'm here looking at your condition." He wasn't happy at all. So, you know, I said, "Well, this thing is going to come to pass," because it was directly in line with fulfilling God's eternal purpose. It was to announce the forerunner of the Christ. You know, it was going to be a forerunner in every word, sense of the word. You know, he was going to do the thing that he would do to announce Christ, but he was also going to be born before Christ. It was a forerunner. So he announced this forerunner, and you didn't believe it, and you're supposed to be a priest and all. You know, Gabriel wasn't happy with him. Said, "Well, you're going to be dumb, you know, until these things happen. Then you will know, you know, that these things were sent from the Lord. And they will be fulfilled in their season." Now, that was the story. Let me read it to you. I'm sure many of us know it, but as I read it, the Lord might shed some light here and there on some things. Now, there were in those days, the Bible says, a certain priest. This is Luke chapter 1, from about verse 5 or so. A certain priest named Zacharias was, you know, of the course of Abia, his wife, was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. You know, both of them were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. Now, we got to take care of that part. You know, leave nothing left to, you know, chance in terms of, oh, maybe it is this or maybe it is that. No, you be walking upright before the Lord in all the things of the Lord. These people were blameless. That was their first introduction that we heard of them here. But they had no child, you know, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while Zacharias executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, you know, they had their turns. It was his turn now. And according to the custom of the priest's office, he went in to burn incense, and he was there in the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. You know, the priest goes in, rest of them are, you know, outside praying and so on. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. Now, why? Of course, number one, he knew he was the only one in that place. And then all of a sudden somebody appeared with him that should not have been there. And the sight of the man might have been a little bit scary. You know, maybe something was shining, maybe something was brilliant, we don't know. But something caused Zacharias to be afraid when he looked upon the sights that he saw. You know, but the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth." Now, the man knew his name. He also knew his wife's name. And he called it for point blank like that. I mean, you get a visitation from the angel of the Lord that calls your name, calls the name of your wife, and tells you this wonderful news that you've been praying about. I mean, and the world, should you not rejoice, you know, at the sound of that, you know? Why would you let fear grip your heart to the point of unbelief? You know, and, you know, the uncertainty of, look, we're now old and all of that troubled the man. He said, "Now, thou shalt, your wife will bear you a son. And you call his name John." And Gabriel was telling him everything. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. I shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Who ever heard of such a thing? You know, but this just laid it out, you know, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the children, fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I mean, Gabriel just laid out the prophecies of Isaiah right there, you know, and just put it out there concerning this one that will be the forerunner of the Lord. Now, I would have thought that hearing all these wonderful things, that this man knew the scriptures, and hearing all these wonderful things that the Lord has sent someone to, even if he didn't understand that it was an angel at first, but the words coming out of his mouth were enough to have gladdened his heart. Even told him, you will have great joy. You will have great rejoicing. Gladness. Many people will rejoice. You know? And told him all these things. But yeah, the man said, you know, and this happens to the best of us sometimes. Despite all of God's wonderful promises, whether the ones we read in the written logos or the ones that we heard, the spoken rhema, whatever. You know, God has said these things. And yet sometimes, you know, we look at situations. Well, you know, and so Zechariah said, "Well, how, you know, whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years." You don't think the Lord knew that? You don't think the Lord knew that you're an old man and that your wife is well stricken in years? You didn't think the Lord already knew that? Yeah. And so people, let's not put, you know, our circumstances, you know, in front of the promise. The promise of God is sure. Whatever God has said he will do, that he will do. Don't bring argument to God that you are old or this and that and so on. Yeah, God already knew all that. And so, of course, you know, the angel was angry with him because this man should have known better. He was a priest. And he should have known better. And he should have known the word of the Lord. And he should have also known that when God speaks, it will be done. Should, you know, doubting it like that. So the man said, "Look, I am Gabriel." You know, I love the way that Gabriel says these things sometimes. "I am Gabriel, stand the presence of the Lord." You know, one time he said to Daniel, "No one holds with me in these things except Michael, that priest." You know, I am Gabriel. I know these things. You know, I'm telling you. Gabriel, I know these things and I'm telling you, but because you did not believe my word, which you should have been a priest, well, you're not going to be able to speak. So why was it that it was his speech that was stricken by the angel? Well, the speech is so important, you know, in the promises of God. It's so important. That's the thing that's going to bring the thing to pass that you are expecting. It's going to be by your speech. It's very important. That's why I was saying at the beginning of this lesson that God wants us to be like him. It was his speech. It was what he said. He always said, and God said, you know, let there be such and such. And then again, God said, let there be such and such. And then again, God said, let there be such and such. It was his speech. It was his word, you know, that was carrying out the thing that was in his mind. He had it in his mind. He foresaw it, visualized it, and then he spoke it forth. And so the speech was important in case of these Zacharias, you know. It would have been his speech that he would have used to cause to come to pass the word of the Lord. You know, however, in this case, you know, thanks be to God, his unbelief was not sufficient to derail the thing because it was directly in line with the eternal purpose of God. So God was going to punish him a bit, but can't stop the prophetic word from coming to pass in this particular case. So the angel said, well, you will not be able to speak. He should have been speaking the wonderful works of the Lord, speaking that thing to come to pass. But because you didn't believe, you're going to be taken out of the equation, but the thing's going to come to pass anyway. So it is important for us to see that our speech is important, very, very critical, you know, in these things. The angel told him that. So, of course, you know the story. He was not able to speak. When he came out, everybody wondered, you know, that he couldn't say anything. You know, he had to use sign language. He asked for, you know, something to write on and so on. He couldn't speak. He remained speechless. He beckoned to the people. And, you know, people say, wow, something must have happened. So they were thinking, well, maybe he saw a vision, maybe something happened to him, and so forth. They didn't really know that he was going to remain stricken like that for 9 months, but he was, you know, and for the next 9 months where he should have had his speech to celebrate the promise that God gave him, even ahead of its fulfillment, he did not have that speech. And ladies and gentlemen, this is important. You know, don't let your unbelief take away your voice. Your voice is important. You say what you are expecting to come to pass because the Lord already said it. And you must be saying it. Don't be silent now. But if you are silent, God forbid that such a thing should happen. That happened to Zacharias here. Don't be unbelieving, I wanted to say. After all of that, 6 months later, right? And the 6 month, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the 6 month here. This is June in our own, you know, Gregorian calendar here. We're in the 6 month. So for what it's worth, in the 6 month, the angel of the Lord, the same Gabriel, was sent from God again, you know, to a city of Galilee. Named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and wondered in her mind, what manner of salutation should this be? And the angel said, it's the same, almost the same scenario. You know, she also was afraid. The angel discerned that and said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Almost the same thing I said to Zacharias. Fear not, you know, God has sent you glad tidings because you and your wife will have a baby, something like that. said to this woman too. But this woman's case was actually much more difficult. Now, in the case of Zechariah, his only impediment in his mind was that he was old and his wife was old. Now, in the case of Mary, though, there's no husband. I mean, well, there is a husband waiting in the wings in that tradition, their spouse, but they are not married yet. She has not been really, you know, living with a man, you know, in marriage and so forth. It's just something yet to happen. And she knows, I mean, she's still a virgin. Nobody has been with her. She's not been with any man like that. So how in the world is she going to get pregnant? But listen to what the angel told her. Don't be afraid. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son. And just like he told the name of John, he's going to tell the name of this son also. You call his name Jesus. You call him Yeshua. You know, because later on we're told that that's because he will save his people from their sins. He shall be great, just like he told of John. He said, John shall be great. You know, he's telling of this one also shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. So I didn't say that about John. John will be the prophet of the Lord, and this one will be the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. My goodness. And this is something that, you know, the children of Israel was always looking forward to, waiting. And it was great news. Something's going to come. Something's going to happen. Mary said unto the angel, though, how shall this thing be? Exactly what Zechariah said. Seeing that I know not a man. Zechariah said, seeing that I am old and my wife is old. Same kind of scenario. But you can see in this case, Gabriel wasn't angry. Because, I mean, she was just a kid. You know, I mean, maybe she was a teenager, maybe a young woman, maybe she was in her 20s. I don't know. I mean, she was just a young person. And she hadn't come into real marriage. She was espoused, but I didn't come into marriage. How can I be? You know, I'm not with a man like that. And the angel had to encourage her and said, well, you know, don't worry about it. This is how it's going to be. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And he's not going to take time here to explain what the Holy Ghost is. He's just going to tell it to her. The Holy Spirit. Somehow she would know that it was the Spirit of the Most High God. Come upon you, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Well, let's take a look at that. Let's dissect that for a minute. Every child that is born is either a son, if they are male, or a daughter, if they're female, of somebody. You're born, you have to be the son of somebody or the daughter of somebody. Now, whose son will this one be? It can't be the son of David. It can't be the son of Joseph. Joseph's not even in the picture. Whose son is it going to be? Typically, in the Jewish culture, you know, they use the father, you know, as a source, not necessarily the mother. So they just use the father as a source. And they run the genealogies like that through the father. So he said, well who's going to be the father of the child? Well, I said, it will be the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is what making Mary to be pregnant. And of course, the man that makes the woman to be pregnant, the child comes out of that situation, that man is the father of the child. So in this case, Holy Ghost had to be the father of the child. And so that's why he's telling to her that, look, he will be called the Son of God, not the son of Joseph or any such thing. He'll be the Son of God. Now, this thing was very, very difficult to understand. Because Isaiah had said in Isaiah 7:14 that behold, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a child, and call his name Emmanuel, and so on and so forth, meaning God with us. I mean, this thing was in scripture, but nobody understood it. I mean, nobody actually thought it would literally happen like that. They probably thought it was just something symbolic. Because how in the world can a virgin conceive? Never been heard of since Adam and Eve. You know, I mean, Adam and Eve were the only ones that were spontaneously created by God. But since then, you know, procreation happened by a man and a woman, you know, coming together, getting it, you know, a child through pregnancy and all that. So the man says to him, I mean to her, you will be the son of God. Make no mistake about it. And now, moreover, I'm going to tell you something else. Then this was, you know, at this time, Mary never knew anything about this because Elizabeth had kept it quiet. Didn't tell anybody for 6 months. But the angel is going to tell her. The angel knew all about it. So, well, moreover, let me tell you something. Your cousin Elizabeth, you see how this angel, he knew everything. He knew Zechariah's name. He knew Elizabeth's name. He knew Mary's name. He knew the name of the child that's coming in the case of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who called John. In fact, he told what the name would be. He knew the name of the Jesus child that would come through Mary would be called his name Jesus. I mean, he seemed to know everything. Yes, because he carried the knowledge of God on that errand, you know, and he said to her, look, even your cousin Elizabeth, you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you this, you know, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And right now, this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. At that point, Elizabeth said, I mean, Mary's thinking, my goodness, you know. And she knew that Elizabeth had kept it from her. And then the angel told her, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, if you think your situation is impossible, think again. Your cousin, who everybody had tagged as barren, is now 6 months pregnant. I'm telling you. You say, wow. Nothing shall be impossible. And then Mary said, wow. And immediately, Mary now realizes the angel has helped her along. You know, didn't punish her like Zacharias. She really couldn't have known these things. You know, so now he said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Now, this part here is what brings it to pass. This thing here that Mary is going to say is so critical. She said with her mouth, this is what Zacharias should have said, but he didn't. So the angel shut his mouth. Now, but this time around, Mary is going to say with her mouth. You know, is she's going to give affirmation with her speech. You know, give affirmation to the word of promise. And she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, that's all the Lord needed. That's all the angel was waiting for. He waited until she said that, and then he went. And I said, now, cool, it's done now. You see, the moment you come in agreement with that word, it's done. So the angel, his purpose is done. He left. He's not going to hang around again, try to convince her about anything. She has spoken the word in agreement with what the Lord spoke. That's it. It's done. End of story. The angel just went away, his way. Now, what happened here? I guarantee you, Mary became pregnant the moment that she said that. That's it. The moment that she said that thing, the angel said, ah, it's done. She's pregnant. He left. He's finished. He went his way. It's done. On to his next mission. Praise the Lord. And Mary said, I gotta go check this thing out. And the angel said, concerning my cousin. You know. So she left and went in those days with haste, you know, to go and see her cousin. And she went came to the house of Elizabeth, you know, And she entered into the house. And it came to pass, we're told, that Elizabeth, you know, soon as she heard the salutation of Mary, Mary just came. And I don't know how they saluted each other in those days, but whatever it was, hey, how you doing? Or whatever they said in those days. Soon as she said that to Elizabeth, the six-month-old baby that was inside of Elizabeth leaped for joy. Woo-hoo! And Elizabeth, the Holy Ghost came upon Elizabeth at that moment. You see, that's right. Remember, you know, Bible said that John will be filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. Well, it happened in this moment. There was something that would happen. Two women destined in history. One to bring forth, you know, the forerunner. And the second one to bring forth the messenger of the covenant himself. The two of them, when they meet like this, something, there's some spark that is going to happen. And something actually happened. Some spark happened, you know. Now, Elizabeth didn't know anything about Mary. Now, Mary knew a little thing now because the angel told her and she'd come to check it out. But even though Elizabeth knew nothing about Mary, in the moment that the two of them came together like that, my goodness, something powerful happened. The Holy Ghost, in that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the angel of the Lord concerning Elizabeth, that the baby will be filled from the womb, it happened in that moment. Now, you might say that something with these two women. Now, we don't know that what Elizabeth said, her reaction when Zacharias told her. We don't know that. But we know Mary's reaction after the angel explained it to her. And we know that Mary is now carrying inside of her, see, this thing that will be the Son of God. It's upon her now. And the presence of that anointing that was upon her, because the angel called her highly favored among women, coming and meeting this other woman that's carrying the forerunner. When they met like that, this remarkable thing happened. Holy Ghost came upon Elizabeth, and the fruit of her womb was filled with the Holy Ghost right there and then. You know, and they said, wow. And Elizabeth began to prophesy. You know, she said, with a loud voice, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. She didn't know that Mary was pregnant. Knew nothing. Mary didn't tell anybody. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And where is this coming from? That the mother of my Lord, that's the Holy Spirit. There's no way Elizabeth knew that. The mother of my Lord should come to me. For as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Now, there are so many sermons that can be preached from these things. You know, the sound of your salutation, you know, the voice of Mary, you know, bringing forth something, causing that womb. That baby was there in the womb. But that moment, that baby received the Holy Ghost, just like the woman that was carrying the baby received the Holy Ghost, leaped for joy. And, you know, that moment was so powerful, God had to capture it here. And the thing that was said out of that, you know, visitation or whatever you call it, that meeting, is the essence of this lesson. And this is what she said. This is what Elizabeth said to Mary. Blessed is she that believed. You know, Well, Mary already believed, you know, and say, well, you're blessed because you believed. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told her from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this word here that Elizabeth spoke to Mary lives forever. And we're saying it today. Because you believe, there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken to you of the Lord. Well, Mary believed. And she was, Mary at that time was also already pregnant. You know, because the moment she believed, John captured it later and said, and the word was made flesh. You know, how was that word made flesh? It was Mary believed it. And she said, let it be unto me according to your word. That's all you need to say to activate that word. You got to say that. That's how you activate it. Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. Now let me pause for a moment here and let's consider what we are seeing here. Has God said anything to you personally through the word of God, through this platform, whatever? This week, last week, today, this year, last year, whatever. What is your response? Is your response one of, well, my situation remains unchanged? You know, look at me. I'm old. My wife is well stricken in ages. You know, how is this going to be? You don't say that to the word of the Lord. Because God already knew you are old. God already knew your wife is old also. Before he told you what he told you. So rather than all that negative posture, yeah, let your posture be it, Lord, unto me according to thy word. Don't worry about how he's going to do it, because Mary herself was confused. How's this thing going to be? And just said, don't worry about that. But I'll give you a little insight, a little scoop. It is the Holy Ghost that's coming upon you. And Mary didn't understand what that meant, but she believed it anyhow. She opened up her heart to receive it. See, that's what she did. She just said, well, I mean, this thing sounds too good to be true, but nevertheless, you know, be it unto me according to thy word. See, that's all you really need to do. Surrender your mind to his word. And when you surrender your mind to his word like that, even though you don't understand how it's going to be, which you don't need to understand, you know, I mean, do you really understand how, you know, this seed grows inside the womb? Even though medical science will tell us all kinds of things, but can you make it happen? Of course not. God is the one that makes it happen. But she didn't understand it, but she believed it. And even her cousin will tell her later on that, yeah, because you believed it, it will come to pass. And that's the lesson that we need to learn today. Now, Zacharias was fortunate that the thing that the angel was announcing was something that was directly in God's eternal purpose. Otherwise, that thing would not have come to pass in his life. But it was directly in God's purpose. So God, you know, he was punished a little bit for not using his mouth to sanctify the word of promise. He was punished for that. And for 9 months, he couldn't speak. On the other hand, Elizabeth immediately used her speech to confirm the word and to make herself available. Now, the phrases that we'll be considering in this series, and yeah, it'll be a series because there's a lot to be said, are as follows. Just like I said at the beginning, there are many things we consider. There shall be a performance. We need to consider that. We need to consider, you know, and it shall come to pass. We need to consider that. And then we need to consider that it might be fulfilled. Now, those three things are coming, you know. And there are some things that God will do in order that it might be fulfilled. We'll be considering that as well. But today, suffice to say that the one necessary ingredient, actually a couple of necessary ingredients we have seen here, you know, when the word of promise is coming like that, you know, it is necessary, number one, whatever the reason is that we are afraid, whatever the reason that we think, you know, logically, the thing doesn't make sense. You know, medical science says it's not possible. Whatever. You know, Gabriel dismissed all of that here. You know, even to Mary, because he said, there shall nothing be impossible to God. You know, nothing. Everybody said, well, you need to be with a man before you can conceive. God said, yes. That's the order of things for people that are born by man's seed. But this one will be the seed of the woman, not the seed of man. No, because it was promised in Genesis 3 and 15. So, take the man out of the equation. Let the Holy Ghost come into the picture. And the woman, as soon as she received the word, is pregnant. Beautiful story. Now, that's one element that we need to understand. Get rid of logic, reasoning, looking around. Sarah was the same way. Well, I'm old, and this thing, and so forth. Forget all that. God already knew that you're old. You know, God already knew the reason, you know. I mean, it's the same thing. Medical science may tell you that you are sick and you are going to die. Medical science may say you can't have a child. Medical science may say all kinds of things. Whatever it is, you know, God already knows all that. If you don't think that God knows all that, then you don't know the Lord at all. The Lord already knows all that. Yet, and he speak the word to you, you should rejoice. And the moment you rejoice, when you hear the word of God, even the dead seed will come to life. The dormant seed will come to life. All you have to do is, you know, align yourself with his word and say, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's all that God needs. You know, as soon as Mary said that, angel was done. He just went away. You know, so done. Now, you know, God knows how to pick them too. You know, you know, God knows how to pick them. There were many, many virgins in those days, you know, that had not been with a child. And God only needed, with a man. God only needed one of them. Well, he picked the one that would say that same thing that Mary said. Be it unto me according to your word. Now, are you that fertile ground that the seed will land upon and that you will speak to it? The same words that Mary said, be it unto me, or speak about it like that. That's all God is needing. Now, let's not be like Zacharias, you know, that despite the fact that he should know better, and some of us should know better, because we know all these things. I mean, we've been teaching this faith thing sideways, up and down, backwards, any which way, to help people believe the word of God. I've shown you so many ways to do it. Well, nobody should have any excuse on this platform. You know, now, consider your ways. Whether you be in the faith. You say, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Are you allowing your mouth to be used of God or be used of the devil? Used of God means come in alignment with God's word. And then you begin to declare it for it. It may not just be for your own personal situation alone. Most of the time today, I'm referring to that, but it could be anything else, you know. When God put some words in my mouth to declare for people in this room or over the room and so forth, well, I've got to believe it in my heart. I come out here and I declare it. Praise God. You know, so you got, sometimes You know, sometimes it's just spontaneous. Maybe while we're praying and the Lord showed me something and I say, you know, but I got to believe it in my heart, you know, that what I've said, that's it. You know, God has said it. I believe it. And that's it. And that's the way it should work for you as well. There shall be a performance is based on the fact that she believed. That's what her cousin said. Blessed is she that believed. You're blessed because there shall be a performance of those things that the Lord spoke to you. So, let's consider the things that God might have spoken to you. Well, there are many ways that God could have spoken that way, that thing to you. It could be you had a need, you had a situation, and so forth, and you did your research. You went into the scriptures and found promise for that. We've taught people to do that. Well, however you came to the conclusion that it's God's promise for you, then from that point on, you'll be like God and speak like God spoke. You know, the scripture tells us in the book of Romans chapter 4, this is how God, even things that were not there, he says, God who quickeneth the dead. In other words, things that are dead, dead seed inside of you, whatever promise looks like it's dead and so forth. You know, God calls those things which be not as though they were. This is Romans 4 and 17. Well, to be like God, that's what we got to do. We say there shall be a performance because I have believed. Praise God, you know, and that's what God is looking for. So phrase number one today that must be in your mouth. There shall be a performance of those things that were told me from the Lord because I have believed. So that's phrase number one. You know, we're going to deal with later on, you know, how that it shall come to pass. And also how that God will be watching over it, that it might be fulfilled. But for us today, let's settle this in our hearts that there shall be a performance. Why will there be a performance? Well, let's take a look at the scriptures. Isaiah 55 tells us that when God speaks, he doesn't return unto him void. Whatever he said, whatever he sent the word to do, he will accomplish it. So if God gave you a promise, well, the purpose of that promise is to fulfill some joy in your life, which was probably missing. Yeah, so when God gave a promise, well, you know, then all you got to do is come in alignment with that promise. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We'll be talking about that in the that it might be fulfilled portion of this lesson. Because his ways are different. Don't worry about it. You know. But first thing you got to know is my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. You know. So sometimes we're looking in one way, God is looking in another way. And I've told the story multiple times of the man who was looking to the angel to steer the bull, and if he happens to be the first to get in there, he will be the one. He will go home with his healing that day. But that was his thinking. I was thinking of a great number of important folk that were there, you know, and that was his thinking. He was expecting a miracle, but he was focused on where he thought it was coming from. That was his thinking. But the Lord will later show that, well, you may be thinking that way, but God can bring you the miracle a different way. It was important, though, that the man had expectation. That part was good. He had that part spoke for him because he kept coming, even though, you know, somebody stepped in ahead of him several times. He kept coming. So he had that going for him. But what he didn't know was that God could actually give him that healing in a way different than what he thought it was going to come from. That's the part he didn't know. And Jesus showed that. And it was today, Jesus said, it's not about the water. It's not about the angel. I'm right here. Water and angel is still there. However, today, God's going to give you that healing a different way. So, my thoughts, not your thoughts. My ways, are not your ways. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and bringeth, maketh it to bring forth and bud. See, the rain and all that, they have a purpose. That he may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Well, the Lord said, so shall my word be. This rain that comes down, it's coming down. That's it. It's not going back up. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Let's notice the things that the Lord said about it. You know, I want us to study this Isaiah 55 verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Now, God said that. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So consider that. The word that has gone out of the mouth of the Lord concerning your situation shall not return unto the Lord void. But it will do two things. It has these characteristics in itself. It cannot return void. That's number one characteristic. But just, not just that. It has these other characteristics as well. That it has the capacity within itself to fulfill itself. You know, once God has spoken it, it's settled. That word will sustain itself. It's built into that because it's the very essence of God. So it's how God did in the beginning. The word that God spoke out of his mouth had the capacity to make things happen. And so that's why God said, let there be. And that's it. You know, for us, it's the same thing today. We must also say, well, let it come to pass. You know, let there be means cause it to happen. You know, whatever it's going to take, if gases or elements must come together to form something, then so let it be. Let there be. And so it will be. God just said it. And so that's the way God said it. And next thing to understand is, well, it's not going to, not only will it not return void, but must fulfill the reason why it was sent. You know, and it will prosper to accomplish that which the Lord pleases, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto it was sent. God has sent his word from time to time. The scripture even says that the Lord sent his word and he healed them. And if the Lord sent his word to heal them, and we know that the word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven, then the same word that God has sent for our healing today, we must receive it also for our healing. Psalms 107 verse 20. The Lord sent his word and he healed them, delivered them out of all their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Well, let's praise the Lord then. So that's part one of this lesson today. First phrase that we must master, that phrase, learn it and use it all the time, is there shall be a performance. There shall be a performance of the things that was spoken to you of the Lord because you have believed. And you can say that for yourself as well. You know, there shall be a performance of the things that God spoke concerning me. And because I have believed, you know, therefore I speak the same things out with my mouth. Just like God said, all we have to do is align ourselves with God. Say, God's the engineer, the architect, and the creator, and all of that. Let him figure it out. That's his business. You know, my part is for me to come in agreement and in alignment. You know, I don't want to stand in the way of what God has said. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, we're told that, you know, we must demonstrate the same spirit of faith. That's right. Same spirit of faith all the time. You know. And what is that spirit of faith? Well, because you believe, therefore we also speak. There it is written. I believed, therefore I have spoken. Well, we also believe, and therefore we do speak. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know, in a roundabout way, quoting Psalms 116, verse 10, I believe, therefore I spoke. Well, they found these scriptures, they use it. Once you believe, and you speak, no matter what you are faced with, maybe affliction of different kinds. You know, the psalmist was somebody that was not a stranger to affliction. There were many things that he suffered. You know, even though God promised him the throne, he was minding his business, minding the sheep, when he was handpicked to be the next king. It wasn't something that he was preparing for. It wasn't even something that he wanted, just to speak. He wanted to be a shepherd boy. He enjoyed his time alone in the wilderness with the sheep and singing and around the brooks and all that stuff. You know? But just because you're not preparing for it, doesn't mean it's not God's plan for your life. That's another punchline for today. So he wasn't preparing for it. He didn't even know it was coming. Same thing with Mary. Mary had no clue that this was coming. Neither did David have a clue. But it was coming anyway. They both suffered a lot of things. If you don't think that Mary suffered a lot of things because of believing this word, think again. Even the man that was going to marry her was minded to put her away privately. Didn't want to shame her. She suffered a lot of disgrace in those days when she was found to be with child. And everybody knew that they had not consummated that marriage. And yet, she was pregnant. She was labeled in the society back in the day. She had to carry that shame around. She would explain that, well, it was the Holy Ghost. Nobody would believe her. Holy what? You know, what are you talking about? You have played the whoredom. They would have said to her, even her husband, he was a just man. He said, well, I love this woman and so forth. He tried to believe her. Well, but he really found it difficult. Said, well, all I'm going to do is, I'm not going to shame her publicly. I'll just put her away and be done with it. And sever that betrothal that they did. I'm just going to be done with it. So the Lord had come to him in a dream, telling her, no. She didn't do any of that. This thing that happened to her was from the Lord. So Mary suffered a lot of things. Suffered a lot of shame. Suffered a lot of disgrace. And so on. David suffered a lot of things. You know, the moment that, the Lord put him as king, there was a target on his back. The devil was going to kill him and he would not even get to that throne. Well, but it's going to come to pass. The word of the Lord for your life will be fulfilled. It cannot be truncated, cannot be frustrated. The counsel of the Lord for your life will come to pass. But here is a helper for that counsel. You say, well, but God doesn't need a helper. In this case, you need, not God. The helper is, be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. That's it. That's what you need to say. So I'm going to leave today's lesson here. I've got some more things to still share tomorrow. By God's grace, continue, maybe even the next day. I don't know. But there's a lot that we want to say in this lesson. Now, I'm going to do a little exercise here today where I want you to, if you understand this thing that we've talked about today, just one part of this, many splendor that the Lord will reveal to us in this lessons. But the first part today is for us to know within our hearts and to be convinced of it. Well, I believe, therefore I spoke, and to declare God's word by only coming into agreement with it and making ourselves available as a fertile ground for that seed of promise. That's all we got to do. So we're going to pray like that today and say, Lord, in fact, one man said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Well, you can pray that prayer too if you think you're struggling with anything. The Lord already knows your struggles. You might as well open up to him. He's the one with whom we have to do. And all flesh is naked before him anyway. You might as well open up. If you think you're struggling with believing for the promise just because of situation, well, or circumstances or some report or whatever, all you got to do is say, Lord, help me. That's all you got to do. When Peter started to sink, all he had to say was, Lord, help me. And the Lord reached out and helped him. The Lord chastised him for doubting, but he was still helping. He may chastise you for doubting, but he will help you. He will always will help you when you cry out for his mercy. So we're going to pray that prayer right now. I am going to pray that and declare that there shall be a performance of God's word in your life. And you are going to say, well, there shall be a performance of God's love in my life. because I have believed. And I am going to say, blessed is she that believed, because there shall, be a performance of those things that was spoken to you of the Lord. And the she in this case actually applies to a lot of you in this room. Most of you are women that are in this room today. So there shall be a performance of those things that were spoken to you. Blessed is she that believed. Applies to he that believed as well. But specifically for the she that believed here in this room today. There may be a she that will believe the word of God in this room today. Will that be you? Well, God only needs one person to believe. If you believe, well, then you make the rest. the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that Noah believed God. And because he believed, he condemned the rest of the world. The moment one person believes, the rest of the world that don't believe are condemned. And there will always be one person that will believe. Will that be you? Well, by faith, Noah also being warned of things of God, of things to come, of things who had not yet seen. He moved with fear because the Lord said, I'm going to destroy everything. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world That's right. Became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 11 and 7. So, will you be that person that will believe? Who touched me? Jesus said. Well, a lot of people that were around him, but one person touched him. And the disciples could not even understand that. Will that be you on here this morning? Forget someone else. Pray with me as we declare now. Father, in the name of Jesus, first I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to invite you to join me. So listen to my prayer first. Father, I pray, Lord, now that we have declared your word, and we know that we must come in alignment with the word of God, I declare that there shall be a performance in the lives of your children that are here today. Or whatever it is they're believing, it might be for themselves, might be for their spouse, might be for their children, might be for their grandchildren even. A lot of us standing in prayer for one thing or the other, for ourselves or for somebody else. And as much as, Lord, your people believe your word, let there be a performance of those things that were spoken to them of the Lord or spoken concerning them from the Lord. And because they have believed, it's like Mary believed. Now, Lord, if there's any one of us that's struggling with our faith, pray, Lord, that you help our unbelief. But we must be bold to declare the word of God once we believe it. Speak it. Come in alignment with it and speak it. Therefore, I speak over the room today that there shall be a performance of those things that you are expecting and believing from the Lord, because you have received the word of God, because you say, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. And I pray, Lord, that God, the very God that maketh all things, cause those things that were not even there to be as though they already were. Just call them out. Lord, fill us with that same spirit, the self same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. It's in us. Well, it will also quicken us. And the same spirit raised Christ up from the dead. The same spirit is now in our lives. The word is in our mouth. You don't need to look for Jesus in the grave. Romans 10 says he's no longer there. You don't need to go bring him down from heaven. It's already in your mouth. Speak it forth. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. And remember, as always, the angels are waiting. They're hearkening to the voice of God's word from your mouth, according to Psalm 103, verse 20. Now, you got to do, the moment that Mary said it, the angel went on his way. Done. Hallelujah. And there may be some cases that the angel may do some shaking and some moving. God has shakers and movers. But they won't shake, they won't move anything until you come in alignment with that word and speak it and say, be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word. Thank you, Father, for this understanding that you have granted us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.